Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Mike, how you doing? Are you awake?
Dave, I'm awake.
Ah, come on. Damn, I thought I might catch you off guard there. Cause I thought, okay, fair enough. Come on yourselves. Good to have you back on the programme, by the way. I haven't talked to you for a while. Before I do, let me just say what it is we're talking about. First of all, that was Kings of Leon you heard just before the break. An album that's nearly 20 years old. I think it will be next year. Youth and Young Manhood, the first album from them, and that's called Red Morning Light. But I want to talk about something else here now. Lenny Abramson's BBC and RT, the adaptation of Sally Rooney's Normal People, the TV phenomenon of the pandemic, as you well know. The book, actually, it's of course, shot back to the top of the bestseller list thanks to the series. And even her first book, Sally's first book, is back up there at number two as well. But it wasn't the only thing that was flying off the shelves. I'm talking here about the chain that Paul Mescal's character Connell wore in the series. It sparked some pretty strong reaction. It now has its own Instagram account. That's right, the chain itself. And ASOS and Argos report that they're finding it difficult to keep similar styles in stock. So how much can a product gain by appearing in a really good film or TV show? And that's the question I'm asking Mike. I hope he has the answer. Because Mike from the Delve, the Delve podcast that is, he's with me now to tell me about times that the product placement really, really worked and I presume really, really didn't or whatever, backfired. So as I say, Mike, welcome to the programme once again. First of all, how important is it for a brand to get their products into a TV show or a film?
Well, I think it depends on the TV show or the film. Like, this has gone way back to Rebel Without a Cause and James Dean's day when Ace Combs, he obviously used an Ace Comb during the movie to comb his hair, and sales absolutely rocketed afterwards. And Hollywood probably realized they were onto something there. And it's kind of continued to evolve since then. So, I mean, nowadays you've got stars like The Rock or Ryan Reynolds. Like, The Rock has a new tequila brand. Ryan Reynolds has a brand called Aviation Gin, a company that he owns, that has just popped up in two or three movies in the last year alone. Not just his movie with Michael Bay, Six Underground, but also his wife's movie, Blake Lively's movie, A Simple Plan. So this just suddenly this beautiful shots of this bottle of Aviation Gin. So it just seems to be a case
hold
of
on,
not...
Hold on, Mike, have you seen Six Underground?
I have seen Six Underground.
Isn't it the most incredibly kinetic, in-your-face, what-the-hell-is-going-on movie I've ever seen in my life?
That's what happens, I think, when you take any sort of restraints off of Michael Bay and you just let him go absolutely nuts.
There's a scene on a huge, big, kind of expensive boat, a big yacht, or whatever, a big thing, billion-dollar boat. It's the funniest. It's just what's just been happening. It makes The Matrix look like a kind of a bedtime story. Anyway, sorry, that's nothing to do with what you're talking about. What are you talking about?
Yeah, so Ryan Reynolds actually owns the gym brand that features in that. So a lot of the time, obviously with the likes of James Bond and stuff like that we might get to in a bit, brands will approach the studios or brands will approach the producers and maybe make an offer in terms of adding to the budget to feature their brand prominently. But for stars like Ryan Reynolds and The Rock and some others in Hollywood at the moment, it's a bit of leverage for their deals. So they can say, look, I might knock $500,000 off the $15-20 million I'm going to charge for this movie if you feature my brand prominently. And a lot of directors who are in Hollywood now or have been in Hollywood since the 80s, when it was very much at the height of it with the advertising stuff, are used to shooting these brands. They're used to making ads for these brands. So, you know, top tier directors like David Finch or Ridley Scott, the late Tony Scott, all started directing ads, and then Fincher moved on to music videos.
Yeah, indeed. So listen, tell you what, I want to get into some details here. In fact, I think I'm going to play something here now, and this is Tom Hanks fighting, can I say that, with a ball.
It was what, a year ago? So let's just forget it. And what is your point? We might just make it. Did that thought ever cross your brain? Well, regardless, I would rather take my chance out there on the ocean than to stay here and die on this shithole island, spending the rest of my life talking to a goddamn volleyball! Shut you up.
Actually, he's not talking to a ball, he's talking to a goddamn volleyball. So tell us about that one.
Yeah, so the volleyball in that, well, it had a name because Wilson was what was on the ball. And Wilson are obviously a company that make basketballs and volleyballs and such. And they actually didn't pay anything, given the amount of promotion for Wilson that is in that movie. Like, the character, for want of a better word, is called Wilson. And since then, Wilson have actually started to produce balls. I actually saw one recently, a volleyball recently, with the Tom Hanks blood handprint on it.
So you know, that, I mean, like, it should be mentioned this is Castaway and he's on the island. The noise in the background is the crashing waves. And the point about it is that he's nobody to talk to at all. So he talks to something else that washed up on shore with him when the plane crashed. And that was a ball.
And it's not just Wilson, obviously, as well. Like, FedEx is the company that Tom Hanks' character works for in the Robert Zemeckis movie. And they didn't pay anything either for it. So I think it's difficult to put a price on that kind of advertising, that kind of organic advertising.
Hold on a second. Would FedEx not have been annoyed? I mean, like, the one time they're in the movie and they're delivering something and their plane crashes.
Well, I mean, I suppose they probably weighed up the pros and cons there and thought, look, you know, the brand is out there a little more. Yeah. You know, they're getting up on UPS or whatever, so.
Yeah, I suppose so. Here, I'll give you another blast with that. Wilson being the ball.
Wilson! Wilson! I'm sorry, Wilson! Wilson, I'm sorry! I'm sorry! Wilson! I can't! Wilson! Wilson!
Do you know, Mike, was the movie well made enough that you actually kind of, I don't know. I mean, obviously that music is making you, like, if you're not thinking of crying, we're going to make you cry. Quick, more strings. But I mean, the point about it is, did the director invest enough, I can't believe I'm asking this, in the volleyball for you to go, oh God, I hope Wilson's okay?
Well, I think Tom Hanks was nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah, why wasn't Wilson nominated?
Best Supporting Actor. He probably should have been. Another massive overlook by the Academy. Well, Tom Hanks took like 18 months off to lose the weight, to be somebody who, to look like somebody who would have been a year and a half on an island, just kind of surviving on his wits. So I think it says a lot about Tom Hanks' performance that Wilson, a volleyball, has become an iconic character and kind of does help brand.
The funny thing is that I went to Los Angeles, this sounds great, I went to Los Angeles once to interview Tom Hanks for Toy Story 2, maybe 3, I don't know which one it was. And He was filming that movie at the time, and it was ridiculous. Here I was talking to Woody, and he had a beard coming down as far as his chest. It just didn't make any sense. Anyway, where are we? Let's go to Wayne's World. That's a big one.
Yeah, Wayne's World is a really funny one because it was one of the first times I can remember, and South Park have done it really well since, but it was one of the first times I can remember brands actually been satirized and allowing themselves to be satirized. So there's a segment in Wayne's World where Wayne and Garth kind of break the fourth wall a little bit and start plugging products during the movie, like almost like it's an ad within the movie. So so like kind of sponsored content before there was sponsored content, I suppose.
Yeah, but that's what the movie was about, so that's allowed. And Harold and Kumar, somebody mentioned to be there. I don't think I've seen that one. Which one is it?
So Harold and Kumar is kind of like the stoner comedy that came out.
No,
about
I know
20...
that. Were there a few Harold and Kumars? No,
there was two of them, and two. It's Harold and Kumar. Oh. Harold and Kumar go to White Castle.
Yeah,
so we wouldn't really know it here, but White Castle is a fast food restaurant in the US. And like, so the name of the brand is in the title of the movie, which is huge for White Castle. Obviously, I mean, it does kind of provoke that stoners like eating at White Castle. But I mean, if they're spending enough money, I'm sure the brand doesn't care. But yeah, White Castle, the company, did not pay a cent to have their name involved in that movie. I mean, obviously then they can't have any sort of creative control over the movie or how their brand is used in the movie, but it's still massive marketing for them.
Yeah, of course. And you mentioned Michael Bay earlier on. Is he the number one? Like, I mean, his movies cost a trillion anyway, so he's got to get the money somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, that lofty title, that another overlooked Oscar contender, Transformers 4, appears to hold one of the records. There's 55 brand mentions in Transformers 4, which was, I think, both the first and the second one, where Mark Wahlberg inexplicably turns up and he's the lead in the movies. But brands like Heineken, the kind of usual suspects, Armani, all popping up in there to kind of offset the cost of the budget, which was probably something like $250 million, knowing how Michael Bay shoots his action sequences.
Wasn't there a big scene about a Bond movie from a few years ago where he drinks from a bottle of Heineken or something and it cost a fortune to put it in the movie or something? I don't know. Anyway, let's go to Fight Club, right? I want to play something from Fight Club. This is Planet Starbucks.
Earlier, for 6 months, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep. With insomnia, nothing's real. Everything's far away. Everything's a copy of a copy of a copy. When deep space exploration ramps up, it'll be the corporations that name everything. The IBM Stellar Sphere, the Microsoft Galaxy, Planet Starbucks.
There you go. Explain me to that now, Mike.
So, like, it's obviously making a point about mass consumerism. Yeah. You know, that's the whole kind of, well, one of the many points of Fight Club, the book and the movie directed by David Fincher. And I remember listening to the director's commentary, and it's David Fincher with Brad Pitt and with Ed Norton, and kind of talking about some of the brands that were involved and how difficult some of the brands were. You know, they obviously don't want their brand kind of tarnished, because satire can reach a certain point for them where it becomes damaging to them. But Fincher spoke about how cool, basically, Starbucks were with him using their brands in this kind of way. So I thought that was kind of an interesting point, that the brand were like, look, you know, having the name out there, or having the brand in there in a David Fincher movie, who's, you know, in the top 10, 20 directors of all time, in my opinion, at least, yeah, can only be a good thing no matter what they do with it.
Right, indeed. So it worked as well, I presume. Now, one of the strangest ones, and why, is The Internship.
Yeah, The Internship is, I think it's probably a movie that so many people have forgotten about, because it kind of came at the tail end of the Vince Vaughn, renaissance. Like, he was a comedy star for a while, had done Wedding Crashers, and then there was this big deal being made about Vince Vaughn re-teaming with Owen Wilson, who was his co-star in Wedding Crashers, for The Internship, which was based around two salesmen getting a job in Google as interns. And the whole movie is basically an advertisement for how cool it is to work in Google and how cool Google is.
And also the fonts, the colours that we know well, are all part of the marketing campaign and everything else. It was all a Thai branded. Do you remember why did I start this? Because I've forgotten. It's the beginning of the century. There was John Travolta in a movie for Scientology.
Battlefield Earth.
Yeah, Battlefield Earth. It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my entire life. That was just ridiculous. That was an ad for, at least it was for L. Ron Hubbard, wasn't it?
Yeah, 100%. And I don't think John Travolta ever really recovered from that movie. The director certainly never made another movie afterwards. It was such a massive bomb, because it essentially was propaganda for Scientology in the guise of this big budgeted sci-fi movie. And it was absolutely ridiculous. I much revisit it, because it is one of those films that's probably so bad that there's some entertainment value in there.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, let's take a look then in general at what we're talking about here. And we're talking to Mike Sheridan. It doesn't come from nowhere, as you said earlier on. The backgrounds of a lot of directors can be traced back to advertising, can't they?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the late Tony Scott, who directed an awful lot of action movies, is Ridley Scott's brother, who started in advertising as well. So Tony Scott's first movie as a director was Top Gun. And obviously Top Gun had reverberation with Ray-Bans. Ray-Bans went on, and, you know, the upstick in sales for Ray-Bans were ridiculous after Maverick wore them in the movie. But Tony Scott essentially auditioned for directing Top Gun with a Saab ad a year or two beforehand, where there's this jet, this very cool fighter jet comes out of a hangar and just looks awesome and just looks slick. So you can, like, it's a Don Simpson and Jerry Bruckheimer produced movie, who are very much of the time in terms of high concept movies, who obviously saw, well, look, you know, if you can make a fighter jet look that cool, we might as well hire him, because they would have done it for relatively small budgets as well. Similarly with Michael Bay, who directed a bunch of music videos and some ads before he got the first Bad Boys movie. You know, there wasn't a huge amount of money spent on Bad Boys comparatively to the sequels anyway, but he was able to get big bang for the buck for whatever he was given. And obviously he's gone off in a completely different direction since then. And it's where Ridley Scott started too. So Ridley Scott, again, one of the top tier directors of all time, started with the Hovis Boy and the Bike ad about 50 years ago. Ended up, after directing a couple of really well-received movies like Alien and Blade Runner, directed the 1984 Apple ad that's become somewhat iconic.
Oh, really? Okay, fair enough. Yeah, so TV then. Sport is always a good way to sell things. There's a recent, the thing that people are talking about, the Michael Jordan docuseries, that's done big business, hasn't it?
Yeah, The Last Dance, which is an incredible watch. It's a 10-part series that went, they actually moved it forward on Netflix. So it went out on ESPN in the US on a Sunday night, two episodes at a time, and then turned up on Netflix worldwide, I think, the following Monday. So it's essentially based on the Chicago Bulls dynasty in the 90s and Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. So what happened afterwards was, I think it introduced a whole new generation to people who never saw Michael Jordan or Scottie Pippen or these guys play. So there was a huge interest in Michael Jordan afterwards. And Michael Jordan's big brand is obviously Air Jordan. That brand has almost transcended him, and that, like, a lot of the younger generation mightn't necessarily really recognize Michael Jordan per se, but they recognize that brand of that figure, Duncan. And the sales went up something like 35% the following day. The Air Jordan trainers, the trainers that Scottie Pippen actually wore in some of the games, went up something ridiculous the following day, the Nike trainers, by something like 300% the following day. So again, it kind of speaks to that notion of it being organic. You know, something isn't jammed in there. It's the best form of advertising. And I think the smart brands and the smart marketing brands really realize that.
Listen, I haven't seen The Last Dance, and I've no interest at all in basketball. Would I like it, though?
Yeah, you would, I think. I've no interest in basketball really either, but I think, again, Michael Jordan transcends that, and his kind of attitude to sport and demanding the best from the people around him is more fascinating than just watching a game of basketball. And it's directed by a guy called Jason Baer, and he does such a phenomenal job of kind of moving the narrative and moving the timeline and stuff around. It's a really, really interesting watch.
Yeah, and you say you've no interest in basketball. Are you still doing your beating people up inside a cage?
Still doing MMA. You can't really socially distance and spar, lads.
So all right, I hadn't thought of that, yeah.
So it's been a bit difficult recently. So
Will you get back into it, yeah?
Ah, yeah, I'll get back to training at some point. I'm getting old now, Dave, though. I'm in my late 30s now, you know. It takes a bit longer to heal.
Are you a bit of an expert on it? Would you know the people involved in that sport? I presume you do. Because I don't know if you watch, I don't know, for my sins, I keep watching and I've gone all the way with Billions. Have you seen Billions?
Oh, Billions. Yeah. Billions is a great show.
Okay, well, in season 5, I'll stay with me for a second, at the end of the first programme, there's a bizarre scene happens. Do you know your woman? Is it Wendy, who's kind of the person, like she's like, kind of like a psychiatrist in Axe Capital, who tells people that they should work harder or not work harder, or what their problems are?
Yeah.
She decides to bring somebody in to kind of peck, you know, to perk everybody up. And, oh God, I've forgotten their name. And she brings in the what do you call her, cage fighter from Limerick, Wendy Lynch, is it? No,
Becky Lynch,
it's
WWE,
phenomenal.
Yeah,
she gives a huge speech and they're all kind of and then they think she's the greatest. It's just suddenly out of the blue. I have to see it. Okay, fair enough. Where was I? Yes, the actors and their own brands, where did they come into all this? I mean, are they in there pulling strings for their own products? You've just mentioned The Rock. Yeah, like he's allowed to have stuff in his own movies, part of his contract, and you're saying it's even in other movies as well.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. And I think how The Rock has done it, he's kind of set a precedent here. And I think Kevin Hart was one of the first people to do it too. So they're doing deals at the start of movies, but like outside of the fees for the movie. So outside of the astronomical money that they will get for headlining this movie. The Rock, for instance, he'll add an extra $1 million to post about the movie on a social media alone. So that's another fee on top of wherever else he's getting for appearing in the movie. And then they'll add, you know, or they might cut something off that to include X amounts of shot of The Rock's new tequila brand. Ryan Reynolds' brand now is the most obvious version of it. Ryan Reynolds seems to be very smart at what he's doing with his money and what he's invested in outside of being a movie star and being an A-list Hollywood movie star. As I mentioned earlier on, it popped up in his wife's movie, A Simple Plan, which is a Paul Feig movie. Paul Feig directed
Bridesmaid. Oh, yeah, Bridesmaid. I saw that. Yeah.
Which is it's a really fun movie.
It is, yeah. You don't know who's Josh and who in the movie. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
But I thought that was really interesting that he'd even done a deal with, you know, a movie that his wife was in. So look, maybe he thought, you know, this is bang on demo for me. The demo that the studio are aiming at here is perfect for our brand. It's, you know, it's a new brand. It stopped us having to do, you know, X amount of market research into this brand or into this demo to have. So we'll just tag it onto the movie everybody wins.
Yeah. So I presume you're saying basically everybody does win. Like overall, it's always worth it, more or less anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at No Time to Die, the new Bond movie, there's, I think it's about $100 million worth of ads in that. So, you know, like it's usually like the usual like suspects like Aston Martin, Omega Watches, Heineken, and then Daniel Craig, who, you know, as far as I'm aware, doesn't have any stake in Heineken, is essentially an ambassador as James Bond for Heineken, even like appearing as James Bond in Heineken ads.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it moves in so many different directions where the kind of lines between reality and, you know, cinema are very much blurred.
Okay, by the way, Damien sent in a text here, 51552, with a piece of film trivia. Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. It had a different name over here. It was known as Harold and Kumar Get the Munchies. I still didn't see it. Okay, so listen, finally then, the competition for brands who want their products featured in TV or movies. I mean, the money is huge. Is there a lot of scraping and begging and hoping?
I mean, if you look at somewhere like, if you look at a brand, and I mean, it very much is a brand, it's been around for such a long time, like James Bond, you know, people are going, or even somebody like Ryan Reynolds, I think, especially when stuff is aimed at men for some reason, and it's this kind of, you know, inherently alpha action star or whatever, if it's Ryan Reynolds and it's a bit wry, to have the brand included with somebody like that, or with James Bond, who's kind of a legacy version of it, who's still very much relevant, there's going to be a good bit of competition there. And it just offsets the budgets for these movies to some degree, because the marketing costs a lot of the time are more than the production budget for a movie. So, I mean, they'll probably spend another $250 million on the marketing for No Time to Die. on top of the $250-$300 million budget. So they need to make their money back, and cinemas are in a strange place at the moment, obviously, but they need to sell so many tickets, and the studios have to give the cinemas kind of a cut of those ticket prices. So it all needs to kind of be done, you know, before cameras even get rolling, to kind of offset that cost and stay in the red.
Right, indeed. Well, listen, Mike, thanks a million for talking to us. Your podcast, The Delve, is back for season two soon. When and how can people listen?
It's back on June 10th, and it's actually, our biggest audience is on YouTube. You were very kindly a guest on the show before, and we're launching with one of my favourite comedians. We're launching with Bill Burr on YouTube and on podcasts on June 10th.
All right, well, Mike Sheridan of The Delve Podcast. Good man, Mike. Thanks a million for joining me on the programme today. Good man. Take it easy.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.